This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
And I believe that she's a woman that God has chosen at this time to bring about, you know, the explanation of things that seem mystical and abstract, the supernatural realm, you know, in a simple and in a relatable way. And so, ladies and gentlemen, and the Liberty Church Global, join me as we welcome Stephanie Ike Okafor to bring the word of the Lord to us. God bless and enjoy.
Hello, Liberty Church. I am Pastor Stephanie, and I am so excited to be with you all for the Supernatural Shift Conference. I want to give a huge thank you to Dr. Shola and Pastor Bimbo for having me. You know, I do pray that next year I could be with you all in person. But what I love so much about the Word of God and the power of the gospel, that it is not confined to a location, a place, or a building, that the power of the gospel can literally, you know, even through technology, reach you right where you are with what you need, and God can move so mightily in your life. And so as you're tuning in, I want you to have great expectation. You know, if you have ever been exposed to the study of the ministry of Paul, and if you have not studied Paul's ministry in the Bible, I mean, you are missing out on just the wonders of God. Because literally, there was a time in the Apostle Paul's life that it talked about how handkerchiefs that came in contact with his body were used to heal and cast out demonic spirits from people. Handkerchiefs that came in contact with his body. And the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit did this. Now, there are two sides to the story. One side obviously talks about the anointing that was on Paul's life, that handkerchiefs could be on his body, and those same handkerchiefs could be used to heal the sick that was, you know, not even within close proximity to Paul. But the other side of this story is a story of faith and great expectation, because there were people that literally took that handkerchief with great faith, with great expectation, and went home to their loved ones, and their sick were healed, and those that were oppressed by demonic spirits were delivered. Now, why am I sharing this with you? Because your expectation brings you into the reality of what God is doing in this moment. And so as you're tuning in, have great expectation for what this word is purposed to do in your life. Now, Dr. Shola just shared an incredible message in setting the theme of this conference, Prevailing at the Gate. And one of the things that I love that he mentioned about what does the gate even symbolize? What does it mean? There are two key things that I took note of, that gates are access points into a territory. And two, they are a place of influence. Now, this is so critical, because as we talk about prevailing at the gates, many of you are tuned into this conference, and for many reasons, you know, when we set our time aside and we join a conference or we're listening to a word, you know, oftentimes I have recognized as a pastor and as a human being, right? Because I have had my fair share of conferences and just, you know, seeking the presence of God. But oftentimes we do it with the expectation of our personal needs to be met. When there's something going on in our lives and we hear that there is a conference coming up, there is this mighty man or woman of God that is going to be speaking, we come in the presence of God for him to meet the needs of our personal lives. And as I was praying for you and studying and just seeking the Lord about what it is that he wants to say to you, you know, one of the scriptures that he gave me is in Matthew 6, verse 31 to 33. And before I go into it, you have to recognize that God knows what you need in your life. But there is something of more significance to God than your needs. And that something actually is the remedy for your needs. You see, we often come to God and just seeking Him for the promotion or the marriage or whatever it is, needs that are validated, right? Because we are living, you know, a real life experience here on earth. We have bills that need to be paid, taxes that are due. You know, I don't know about you in the UK, but in the US, we have tax season upon us. Right? We have life. We are experiencing life just as we are seeking out the Lord. But there is something more significant than your needs. And I want to just set this tone right now because I want to encourage you that no matter what your need is in God, if you would pay attention to the word of God concerning the remedy for your needs, and you make this your number one priority, then you would have great abundance in your life. Where you would see yourself in a position where you no longer need to seek God concerning your needs. That you begin to seek God concerning His mission. Because you start to see that the Lord is meeting every need you have as you focus on His assignment. Now let's check this out, right? In Matthew 6, from verse 31 to 33, it says this, "Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." I want to just pause right there. God validates that these are needs. I think it's important that we recognize what this scripture is saying. God is talking about the basics of humanity. He's not even reaching about your wants. The Bible is not saying, do not worry, you know, in the context of the times that we're in. He didn't say, do not worry, saying, what new horse can I purchase? Right? What new camel can I acquire in the context of their times? Now, if it was in the times that we are in, the word of God is not saying, do not worry, saying, when would I get the Maserati? Right? When will I get the new home? He's not going for the extremes. He's not going concerning your wants. He's going for the basics of humanity. What you will eat, what you will drink, and what you would wear. And the Lord is saying, I know you need these things. You see, I want someone listening to this to recognize that God sees you where you are. He has not forsaken you. He has not abandoned you. Because you feel like your needs are not being met. Your needs. We're talking about just the basics here. What will you eat? What will you wear? And what will you drink? God is talking about the basics. And He says, the remedy is not in you worrying about it. And then it goes on. It says, look, I already know what you need, right? Then He goes into but. Now, wherever you see a but, you're looking at, now this is what I need you to focus on. Because as you focus on this, the solution to all of that is going to be found in here. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Again, the Lord is talking about your needs. He says, don't worry about that. But when you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things, the remedy for what you're looking for is found in seeking first the kingdom. Everything that is troubling you right now about your life, wondering if you have missed your time, you have missed your opportunity. Everything that you are searching for about your life is found when you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And the word says, and everything you need in life. And I might even stretch that because I have recognized the power of this scripture and more. What you need and more will be added to you. This is so powerful. Actually, I want us to pray right here and we're going to go further. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are going to do such a mighty heart work with this word in the lives of your children. I thank you, Lord God, that they may have come seeking breakthrough in a personal area, and you are showing them the partnership that happens for breakthrough. That yes, you, Father, you know everything that they need. You know what is lacking in their lives, and you said, don't worry about that. I already know how to take care of this, but what I want you to do that guarantees that you would be sustained and that you would prosper, that you would go into abundance in everything that is connected to your life, is when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So, Lord, I pray that their hearts would be open to hear from you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. The Bible says, seek first. You see, many times what drives our prayer lives are personal needs. Because of that need, that is the reason we wake up to pray. That is the reason we fast before the Lord. And you may not recognize it. Sometimes that is the reason it is delayed. Because the Lord is trying to get you to a place where your prayer is not about things that are superficial to him. He says, I already know how to handle that. But there is something more significant that your life is connected to. And if I just answer this superficial prayer, even though it's important to you, he says, then actually, I may not hear from you for another couple months. You see, when you look at the pattern of your prayer life, ask yourself and be honest, what brings you to the feet of Jesus? Do you come to the feet of Jesus because you want to know him? Do you come to the feet of Jesus because you want to know what it means to partner with the Lord? What it means to be an ambassador of Christ? Do you come to the feet of Jesus because you recognize that you have been called with a great calling, that there is purpose and assignment on your life that is connected to God's kingdom being established? And so you come to him for strategy, for insight. God, how can we do this thing? There is a reason for which you created me. And for that, I seek you, oh God. Or do we only come to the feet of Jesus because we are looking for personal needs? You see, what we don't realize is that when 99% of your prayer time is about you, then Jesus is not really your Lord. He's just your vehicle. Because that is why when people get what they've been looking for, everything changes. They're no longer praying like they used to. They're no longer fasting like they used to. Because he was only a vehicle to get what you wanted. But when he is really your Lord, then you begin to recognize, my life is not my own. There is a call on my life that I must answer. My breath is the indicator of purpose. You see, I want to awaken you to the masterful idea that the Lord had when he created you. And that to him is more significant and carries more weight than the things that we worry about that consume our days, that are all personal, all self-seeking, and still important. I want you to recognize that. God is talking about needs, and he says, don't worry about that. But there's something I want you to do. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, what is this about the kingdom of God? When Jesus was praying, when Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray, the disciples said to Jesus, you know, they had noticed that there is something about his prayer life that is bringing incredible results. Because oftentimes the Lord you know, it so early in the day, would seclude himself and go up to the mountains and pray. And then when he comes down that mountain, he moves with such precision and insight. So the disciples recognize there is something about his prayer life that we must tap into if we want to live, if we want to produce the kind of results that he is producing. And so they asked the Lord, they said, "Can you teach us how to pray? We want to get this thing right. We recognize the impact of your prayer life, and we want some insight on that." And one of the things the Lord says in what we, some call it the Lord's Prayer, some call it the model prayer. Jesus literally says to them, your kingdom, that when you pray, pray like this. And there's a whole thing, our Father who art in heaven. First of all, recognize that the person you're talking to is your Father. Then recognize where they are and where you are. That it is someone you are looking up to, not looking at. That this is not like your friend that you're going to just be talking about, you know, talking to when you walk out the door. This is someone whose presence must have reverence, right? And he goes down the line into this beautiful structure of prayer. But then one of the things he says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We see the kingdom again. He says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So what is the kingdom? When you talk about a kingdom in itself, a kingdom is a territory subject to the rulership of a king. As you're taking notes, write this down. A kingdom is a territory subject to the rulership of a king. Now, what does this mean in the context of the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is the reign and rulership of the king, who is God. It is the reign and rulership of territories by the king, which is God. So when we're talking about the kingdom of God, it is his reign and rule. Now, when we go all the way to Genesis chapter 1, it tells us that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? But now, as we study the beginning, the heavens and the earth is not talking about the heaven where the throne room of God is. It's not talking about the heaven where the angels dwell. It is talking about our realm, the natural realm, the visible realm. And so essentially, it is showing us the extension of his territory. That this territory started in the spiritual realm or the invisible realm. And when he created the heavens and the earth, he was bringing his reign and rule to the natural realm, to the visible realm, the kingdom of God. And it starts with Adam and Eve in the garden. But when Adam and Eve sinned, that rulership was now handed over to Satan. And how does that happen? Let me read a scripture to you and we're going to continue. In Psalms 115 verse 16, it says, "The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's." Now this is talking about the invisible realm. "But the earth has he given to the children of men." The earth has he given to the children of men. So in order for anything to legally happen on the earth, it requires the children of men to be in partnership with God. In order for anything legal to happen on the earth, it requires a man or a woman to be in partnership with God. That is why the word of God says that the Lord does nothing without telling his servants, the prophets. Now, this is not just limited to those in the prophetic office. It's talking about the prophetic flow. That before anything can happen on the earth, it has to go through a prophetic grace. that someone on the earth must tap into what the Lord is saying and what he purposes to do in order for that to be fulfilled. Because the Lord does not speak to gossip. He speaks with purpose. Because every word of the Lord will never come back to him void. So when the Lord releases a word, it's because that word has an assignment. But why does he have to say it to his prophets? Why does it have to go through the prophetic grace? Because someone has to come in partnership with that word. This is why, even when, if you've witnessed deliverance of demonic spirits, oftentimes you would hear the, you know, whoever is doing the deliverance, talk to them about they do not have legal rights. And so it says, you unclean spirit, you have no legal grounds in this, in the life of this vessel. Now, except there are other things that took place in the family or things like that. But where I'm getting at, that even the purpose of demonic possession is because without a body, Satan cannot do anything. Without partnership with a man or a woman, Satan cannot do a thing. He needs partnership. And whether that partnership is to move through someone, or whether that partnership is through our disobedience, he needs partnership to execute his agenda on the earth. You see, if you recall, when the Bible says that Satan had, you know, whatever conversation that has been had in the spiritual realm, Jesus comes to Peter and Jesus tells Peter that Satan has sought to sift you as wheat. What was about to happen? Satan was about to set up Peter in a manner that he would deny Christ 3 times. Then Jesus said, you know what? But Peter, right now you're too stubborn to even receive what I'm about to tell you. So Peter, I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail you. But how did Satan execute his agenda? How did it actually play out? People were involved. There were 3 people positioned at different locations that didn't even realize that their desire to ask Peter the question about his relationship with Jesus was not because they were curious, but they were being influenced by a spirit. So even for Satan to carry out his plan against Peter, he needed people to get involved. This is the whole thing with witchcraft. Because witchcraft has to do with a human spirit in partnership with Satan to do his bidding. That's all witches are. That's why witchcraft is a spirit of rebellion. Rebellion against the Lord's purpose and agenda. But what I'm trying to help you understand is that the earth God has given to us. But the earth was not given to us so that we can be lawless. The earth was given to us that through us, the kingdom of God would be expanded. That this would be an extension of his kingdom through us. That's why if you recognize, even in the garden, when the Lord brought the animals to Adam to name them, the Bible said he watched what Adam would call them. And whatever Adam called them, that was its name. Past tense. So the Lord already knew what he had named these animals. But then he takes his time to bring the animals to Adam and then to watch him. Let us see if he's functioning like us. You see, you were created in the image of God, in the likeness of God, that you would function like the Lord. Obviously, we have our own limitations, but the whole essence of your creation was that you would carry out the interest of the kingdom. That is why the Bible calls you an ambassador. Because an ambassador carries out the interest of that which it's connected to. Carries out the interest of their state, carries out the interest of their country. They carry out the interest of what they are connected to. And as ambassadors of Christ, we are called to carry out the interest of the kingdom of God. And what does that look like? The culture of God, the principles of God, the ways of God is what is supposed to shape our world. And so for some time you have when Satan, even the Bible refers to him as the ruler of this age. But then by the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus, he proclaimed the victory. Now that victory is proclaimed in the spiritual realm. That is why the Lord is called the head of all principalities and powers. And now to manifest that victory in the natural realm, partnership is required. This is why the Lord says, seek first. Your first priority in life should be the understanding of your place in his kingdom. There is a call on your life that when you tap into the call of God, everything else begins to follow you. The things that you need, and I'm telling you, even the things that you want begins to follow you because you have made your life's priority the mission of God. You see, as you're taking notes, my message today is know your mission. Life is more than paying bills. Life is more than trips and excursions. Life is more than vacations. Life is about your assignment on the earth. You have a call. And when you tap into that call, because your calling is the place of partnership. Your calling is the place of your anointing. Do you know that there are some yokes in your life that seems to not be broken because it is the anointing that breaks the yoke? And when you function in the place of your anointing, all of a sudden the yokes begins to break. Because now heaven has an invested interest in your life. Heaven is invested in your capacity. Heaven is invested in you. Just a few days ago, I met a 90-year-old senior pastor. It blew my mind. It blew my mind because, one, she is functioning in all her right senses. Her body, physically, she looks like she could be in her 70s. Strong. Unless you were told that she is 90, you would have no clue. This woman literally could have a good 10, 20 years in her still. A 90-year-old senior pastor, and she is still doing incredible works for God's kingdom. How is it that God is preserving this 90-year-old woman? You know why? Because heaven is invested in her life. She is committed to her assignment on the earth. And so whatever she is doing, as long as heaven says she is not done, they would ensure that God keeps her in great health to continue with the mission. And everything else in her life is being added to her. Literally, when I met this lady, the Holy Spirit put on my heart, you need to sow into her life. Because when you're functioning in the place of your assignment, things follow you. Things look for you. Because the Lord knows he can trust you. He recognizes that you are a good and faithful steward. But if all your life is chasing that which is self-seeking, that is no life at all. Because you will find yourself in a cycle, in an endless rat race. But when you tap into your mission in Christ, that is where you find your answers. That is where you find abundance. And why is this so critical, family? Because you see, the Lord has been dealing with me so strong on something. And in a way that it has become a burden on my heart. You have to recognize that this life, although we are in the natural, although we are in the visible realm, it is spiritual. Because everything you see is actually influenced by that which you cannot see. Everything in this life is building either the kingdom of God or the kingdom of darkness. And this is why you cannot live numb. You cannot live just following the way of culture and society. Because every single thing is building a kingdom. Nothing in this life is random. You see, I remember when I was a kid, I was probably like 12 or 13 years old. And I had a dream. And in this dream, I heard a song. There was a song playing. And I woke up and I knew the whole song. So I called my brother. I was like, oh my gosh, I just had this dream and listen to this song. And, you know, it's not, I'm not gifted in the area of, you know, vocal abilities, you know, but to sing. But my brother and I, we're like best friends. So however I sing, he receives it with joy. And so I'm singing to him, you know, this song I heard in my dream. And he was like, man, Steph, that's a hit. And I'm like, I know. And, you know, we're kids, so we're joking. I'm like, I should be a songwriter. But the song was just this amazing song. And we're laughing about it. And I heard the entire song. I heard the voice that sang it, everything about it, from the top to the bottom. I heard this whole song. Few months later, an artist comes out with the exact song. My brother actually heard it before me. And then he's like, sis, you have to hear this. And he's like, this is the song you were singing like a couple months back. And my brother, his memory is just remarkable. He remembers everything to the T. And so he plays the song. And I'm like, wait, I heard this song in my dream. And I remembered asking the Lord, what was this experience? Like, was I supposed to do something with this song? I'm a kid. I probably was not even 13. And the Lord said, no, I'm actually teaching you something. I'm teaching you that every idea comes from a spiritual place. Even the things that seem random, even the things that people just feel that they created on a whim, that there is a spirit that backs it up. Every single idea. Fast forward years later, one of my mentors, incredible prophet that I admire so greatly, he shares a story about a dream he had where he dreamt about an entire movie from top to bottom. And then later on, this movie comes out. It's the exact movie with the exact actors. Everything was the same. Now, what am I trying to share with you? That what you see, even when you're creating a song, you're writing a script, you're doing a casting call, all of these things, it seems that you are in control of what it is you're doing. It seems that, no, well, I chose this actor over that actor. Another person could say, maybe you just prophetically saw what was to come. But I'm telling you, it goes a step further. That what you think was just this random process was intentional by a spirit. Now, it's either backed up by the Spirit of God, or is backed up by the spirit of the enemy. And what do I mean by this? Because someone may say, but where does free will come in play? Free will gives you the freedom to choose whose kingdom you're building. Free will gives you the freedom to say, whose kingdom am I going to submit my life to, knowingly or unknowingly? That's what free will gives you. Free will literally gives you the freedom of who is going to order your steps. Is it the Spirit of God that will order your steps, or is it the spirit of darkness that will order your steps? Because let me tell you something about the enemy. The enemy does not need to attack people individually. For him to go after you as an individual, you must have high stakes against him. But what the enemy does is that he influences the culture. He influences the territory. And when he influences the territory, the people begin to, their steps are ordered by the way of the land. Their steps are ordered by the territory. For example, racism. Do you think the enemy goes to the home of every racist to encourage them on how to hate people? No. He just influenced the culture behind racism. He influenced the ideologies that created racism. So once he can influence that, he has the territory. What we see in our culture today, how people dress, what people listen to. If the enemy can influence the culture, he can order your steps. That is why the Bible says we are in the world, but not of this world. Because if you live according to the way of the world, your steps are being ordered by Satan. But if you live according to the ways of God, then your steps are being ordered by the Holy Spirit. Everything is built in a kingdom. Everything is connected to a culture. Either it's the culture that represents God or the culture that represents Satan. Just like I shared about music. You see, something that you would recognize as a spiritual principle is that sound makes for transport in the spirit. What you hear causes you it opens you up in the spiritual realm. This is the power of worship. When you begin to worship God, you are transported to a place that is far above your anxieties, your worries, and all the things that try to, you know, just keep your life in a place of bondage, and you're transported to a realm of possibilities. When you worship God in spirit and in truth, you're no longer in this realm of the problems that maybe even brought you to worship in the first place. So songs and sound can also be portals. They open you up to things. So you just think it's just a song, but you have no clue what it's doing in your heart. You have no clue the seeds that are being sown in your heart. This is how kingdoms function. How territories function. If they can win the culture, they win the people. So as ambassadors of Christ, where is your place in the kingdom of God? Do you know that even fashion is influenced by spirits? Let me share a scripture with you. This might blow your mind, right? When the Lord wanted the garments of the priest to be made, you see, oftentimes, you know, when the Lord wants something done, he would reveal a pattern, he would give a vision. But when the Lord wanted the priest, the garments, their own fashion, right, of the priest to be made, this is what Exodus 28 verse 3 says. It says, instruct all the skilled craftsmen whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom. Have them make garments for Aaron that will distinguish him as a priest, set apart for my service. Man, this is so good to me. Concerning the priest, and by the way, if you don't know, in the New Testament, you're called a priest. You are called priests and kings. But now let's look at this. Concerning the priest, the Lord wanted to distinguish his look from the others. And when it came to who would make his garments, who would make his clothes, it says, bring this to the skilled craftsmen whom I have filled with a spirit of wisdom. And it is that spirit of wisdom that would give them the influence and the ideas that is connected to the Lord's vision for this garment. Because when you look at the culture we're in today, When did nakedness become fashion? But because the culture has been influenced to believe that a woman wearing close to nothing is fashionable, we make excuses for it, not recognizing that nothing is entertainment. Nothing is just because you chose to do it. Because in reality, you are following the order of steps that are leading to building something. But in this case, it's building the kingdom of darkness. There are a lot of things the Lord began to reveal to me in recent times. That even fashion, what we think, no, this is just, it's just my style. But if you're honest, that style came from somewhere. You saw it on someone. How many times have we seen something that somebody wore and you're like, girl, where'd you get that from? Gentlemen, where'd you get this from? And you buy the same exact thing. A lot of things are not as original as we think. But what I'm asking you, and why I'm sharing this with you, is that when you recognize your mission in life, you begin to live with intentionality and precision. You don't live like you are numb to what is taking place in the society around you. I'm saying this because there are some of you that are in the fashion industry. And I want you to begin to pray for the Lord to give you His vision for your creations. Some of you are in the music industry. Don't just follow the way of the culture. Ask the Holy Spirit, give me wisdom, give me strategy. What are the sounds you want me to place out there? Because many Christians don't even realize that while they believe they are being led by the Holy Spirit, they're actually being, their steps are being ordered by Satan. Because they're led by the ways of culture and they justify it because of their needs. It's making me money. It's paying the bills. But God says, look, if your worry about your needs consumes you, you will lose your discernment about your mission in life. Those that are in television, begin to ask the Lord, what are creative ideas? What do you want? Because do you know television shapes culture? Till today, I eat cake and drink tea together when I'm home. Why do I do that? If you've ever watched The Wedding Singer, you would know. As a child, I watched a movie called The Wedding Singer. And there was a scene where they were eating cake and drinking tea. And till today, I do that. And I thank God there's nothing bad about eating cake and drinking tea. Actually, you know, it's better to take something hot with sweets. But what I'm trying to explain to you is how media, how these things shape our lives and we don't even realize it. What you're watching is not just entertainment, it's building something. It's targeted towards building something. It's making deposits in your heart. Ask yourself about the shows you watch. What is this? What is the message of this show really? And whose kingdom is it connected to? And you will always have an answer. The other day I was watching, I love like a lot of animation. And maybe it's the big child in me, I don't know. And I was watching this animated movie. And it had such an amazing storyline. But then guess what? In that movie had tarot card reading, had a psychic, had magicians. Now imagine a child believing that, oh, this is an innocent film that they can watch. But you know what that's sowing in them? New ageism. Now all of a sudden they think their answers can be found by someone who's a tarot card reader. Everything is building something. Everything. If you're a business person, ask the Lord, how can my business serve your kingdom? How can your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven through my business? Is it through my integrity? Is it through my customer care? Even if you're an employee at an office, you ask yourself, how do I bring the kingdom of God in this space? Is it through my kindness? Is it through paying attention to the needs of others? What are people going through? How can I be there for them? And you will see the Lord begin to elevate you. That promotion that you have been waiting for could be on the other side of your compassion, could be on the other side of your love for God's people, could be on the other side that, yes, you talk about being a believer so much, but have you witnessed to anybody lately? Does your job know that you're even a Christian? When you care about God's people, when you begin to seek God with where you have placed me in life, with what you have given me, how can I use it for your kingdom? You see, family, these are the key things the Lord began to show me as we talk about the supernatural shift, prevailing at the gates. Because just like we talked about, gates, let me go back to what Dr. Shalah said. They're access points into a territory. They are a place of influence. Earth is a territory. And what you have been called to is a territory. And how do you prevail at your gate? Because you have to understand that your calling is the place of your influence. But how do you prevail at your gate? First, you must know your mission. You must recognize that your life is more than just you. It is bigger than the things that are self-serving. You see, I'm here today and I'm sharing this word with you, but physically I'm not feeling too good right now. But even in this moment, it's bigger than me. It's bigger than whatever is going on in my physical body, because God will handle that. I'm not worried about that. Your life is not just about you. It's bigger than you. And how do you prevail? Know your mission. And move according to your mission with intentionality and precision. Don't live randomly. Don't think that, you know, everything is just whatever it is, or however people want to give themselves phrases and whatnot. Don't say that you're living for God one day, and when he convicts you of something you're entertaining that is in the world, that you try to make excuses for your behavior. Because the price of all of God in your life is all of you. And that's a journey that we have to be committed to. Because you see, I want to share with you a scripture that the Lord placed on my heart. And I believe that this will be your testimony as you build what God is building. Build what God is building. Don't just build what you desire. Don't build according to your selfishness. Don't build according to the ways of the world and then convince yourself that you want to use it for the kingdom. That's not how it works. You build what God is building. And this will be your testimony. Daniel 11:32. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. This has been heavy on me for a while. That we are in a season that the Lord wants to show himself in a way that generations have never seen. You see, you can never put a limitation on what God can do. Because whatever you have seen is just a scratch of the surface. Whatever you have heard, whatever you have read is just a scratch of the surface. That is why Jesus would say to the disciples, greater works shall you do. Because if you have seen it, there is more to discover. Can you imagine? Because to put a limitation on what God can do is to put a limitation on the identity of God himself. Even the human brain cannot conceive and understand who God is, the fullness of who God is. Because the moment you try to reason, where did he come from? You're limited. Your human brain, your capacity in the flesh has not been given permission to even understand how he is the uncreated creator. Because your capacity recognizes that everything created came from somewhere. But how do you reason that he is the uncreated creator? How do you reason that he cannot be contained in time? How do you reason that he can be at the end and the beginning all at the same time? The human brain cannot even go that far for you to even think that we can ever have the audacity to put a limitation on what God can do and how he can move. We are in a time, family, that what God wants to do through your life will truly be like the scripture says, eye has not seen, nor has any ear heard, nor has it even been conceived in the heart of man, what God is getting ready to do. So if you want to live a life that prevails at the gate, not just surviving at the gate, not just seeking for help at the gate, but a life that prevails at the gates, then you have to know your mission. Because in your mission is your anointing. In your mission is the place of your abundance. In your mission, most important, is the place of partnership with God. And if you will partner with God in an intimate way, those who know their Lord, those who are intimately involved with God, this is a place where your relationship with God is a step above your needs. It goes beyond self. He says, they shall do great exploits for his kingdom and for his name. You see, I want you to adjust your hunger. I want your hunger to be about intimacy with the Lord. I want your hunger to be about partnership with the Lord. That during your time on earth, you want to live a life that people will say, she was a friend of God. He was a friend of God. I want your hunger to be adjusted to a life that walks with God, that this becomes that which you seek after. Because if you're only hungry for what you would eat, what you would wear, what you would drink, then what happens when you get it? What happens when you have an abundance of what to eat, what to wear, what to drink, what to do? What happens when you have an abundance of it? Is life over? Or is that when the spirit of greed kicks in? Now you want more, 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 more. What happens? Right now, in Nigeria, for example, what we are seeing, even with all the craziness and the injustice happening, even with the elections, what is behind that? Spirit of greed. People who already have are not satisfied with where they are in life. That rather than being focused on the needs of the people, no, they want more, more, more for themselves. And it doesn't end. But I'm just saying this because I just want to release this declaration that I believe, even concerning my country, Nigeria, that the Lord's purpose will prevail and that we will see God's hand touching that country in a mighty way. And I'm praying that anyone listening to this from another nation, and you are seeing the oppression of the enemy in your nation, I want you to begin to pray and decree and declare for your country. You were not born there or connected to that land by accident. But I'm sharing this because what happens when the purpose of your worship is about things that can be met by people, not even necessarily God. A neighbor could meet those needs. But the place of your calling, the place of your mission, the place of your assignment is hidden in God. It comes from Him alone. It's a place of partnership that all the days of your life, you are in partnership with God. I want your hunger to be adjusted to that. And you will see that in the talents that God has given you, with the ideas that He has given you, with the businesses that He has given you, that when you recognize how all of it is a platform for His kingdom, then you will see great increase, great abundance, because anointing attracts abundance. You know, I want to close with this scripture. It's a scripture that talks about how, you know, the Lord will set a table for you in the presence of your enemies. Then it says, He anoints my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Now catch this, catch the order of things, right? First, He sets a table. Then He anoints my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Everything you need is on that table. He sets a table for you. Everything that is connected to the increase of your life is on that table. But then, in order for you to have access, because the Lord sets the table, but then He anoints you. And the anointing is now attracted to that which is even personal to you. My cup runneth over. The anointing attracts abundance. But we don't seek the anointing just so that we can have abundance in our personal lives. It is just the byproduct of the anointing. It could take some time because God may first seek to develop your character. Actually, God, in His mercy and goodness for your life, would always seek to develop your character. But the anointing attracts increase. Now you can personalize it. First, there was a table set before me, but now my cup runneth over after I was anointed. Because the anointing attracts increase. But the anointing only comes when you are ready to take action at your gate. What are the territories God has called you to? Is it in finance? Is it in business? Is it in beauty? Is it in fashion? Is it in ministry? What is it? Is it in the food industry? What are the platforms that you can begin seeking strategy for God's kingdom to come? I want you to pray on this. I want you to seek the Holy Spirit. And as I pray with you, my prayer is that the Holy Ghost will begin to release ideas that are connected to your life and destiny. And so let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time in Your presence, O God. Lord, this is holy ground. This is a holy moment. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that Your sons and daughters will begin to return to their first love, which is You. That they will seek Your presence for You. They will worship You for You, knowing and trusting that You will meet all their needs. Knowing and trusting that in the place of their assignment and their mission, that is the place of their anointing, and that anointing would break the yoke. Now, Holy Spirit, in this place of partnership, I pray that You will begin to release ideas and vision even now onto Your sons and daughters, that they will begin to see what You know about them. they will begin to have divine strategy connected to the call of God on their lives. Lord, we thank you that there is a supernatural shift happening on the earth. A shift that will turn the kingdoms of this world to the kingdoms of our Lord. A supernatural shift where your sons and daughters will be the head. And not just the head for titles, but they will be the head because they understand their mission as ambassadors is to carry out the interests of the king. The interest of your kingdom. And so, Heavenly Father, have your way in this holy moment. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. You all. You all. You all. You all. You all. You all.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.